listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and the show happy to introduce you to all of our friends and classmates before we burn it all to the ground and start over. I am your host, and I am fast-forwarding to the more harrowing parts of Harry Potter to really kick this thing into the next gear. I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is big, hairy, shirtless, and wet. So he's probably the thing you're smelling right now. He's Steve the Geek Shinny.
We often have conversations in my house that revolve around, what's that smell? Or more specifically, who's that smell? And as I have a son entering puberty and a daughter who loves to just run around crazy and get her feet all kinds of wet and sweaty and gross and mildewy, you'd think there'd be a competition as to who's that smell. But every time my wife tries to play who's that smell, we all just like get frustrated and like, it's always dad. Why are we still playing this game? You know it's dad's stinky butt.
So you described your children as being quite... I could smell your children as you were describing them, and we live nowhere near each other. And yet you're the smelly one? That's got to be some stank.
I'm a shaggy bugbear. What can I say?
You want to be a shaggy bugbear. You that would give you an excuse. Instead, it's just like, no, I have lots of hair, and I sweat.
I mean, that's what a shaggy bugbear would be. Like, it's the same. If your definition is hairy and sweaty... is a shaggy bugbear. I'm a shaggy freaking bugbear.
Yes, but to be fair, that would make you a fanciful, like, fantasy creature, and you'd at least have some mystique about you instead of just being sweaty, hairy, white guy. But yes, when this character was introduced in this comic, I'm like, oh, good. A foil for Steve. This writes itself, and then he gets wet and hairy, and he says, oh, I smell, and I'm like, nailed it. Thank you. Almost tweeted to the author directly saying, like, thank you for writing that. That made my job easier. And their question, their response would just be question mark.
Who are you again?
Yeah. Well, you'll find out. All in due time when you listen to this podcast, which of course you will, because it's about your comic. And that comic we're talking about is By the Book. And it is by, I should have asked you this beforehand, but Kanekuo and maybe Kane.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Kane or King, and I don't know if it's Kuo, Kuo, or Guo. There's lots of ways you could pronounce this, so I'm just going to say, I don't know. He goes exclusively by his nom de plume on the internet, as far as I can tell. I checked all his various socials, and this is all Kane Kuo, whatever. Like, I never got a real name or anything to go off of. And I never heard him say it either, even in videos about like life updates and stuff, he never said his name. So this is what happens when you never say your name. Dummies that is guess. True.
And that is fine. I you also did your due diligence. Thank you for doing the research. I saw it a couple of places, and I saw the same thing that you saw, and I was like, okay, well, that's what you're gonna go by then. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I will at least, you know, use that as your name, and that's we'll move on. So that is fine. This is a comic that Steve picked for us, so I'm going to let him describe what By the Book is all about.
By the Book is a D&D comic that doesn't have any D&D tropes in it. It's actually just a pure fantasy comic built on the standard world of Dungeons & Dragons, which isn't a real thing, and so it's the creator's own world. But it follows the adventures of Penny. Penny is a promising young detective tiefling girl who is just trying to figure out why her mentor, A, wouldn't let her pass her classes, and B, kicked her out of town before the whole thing caught fire and told her never to come back. She did come back, found the whole thing, the whole city destroyed, and now she's trying to figure it out. And figure out what's going on with Tyr, this strangely stalkerish, tag-along, shaggy bugbear. I don't know what Tyr's deal is. Like, Penny is such a well-motivated character, and we know so little about Tyr other than he's kind of a pushover, and he smells bad, and he respects detectives.
Yes, and I think that's where it kind of begins and ends with Tyr for right now. He's very simple-minded, And he explains that little backstory of, like, you know, one of the detectives, or somebody dressed like a detective at least, with the detective garb on, saved his life, or helped him out one time.
You're cynical. So that someone dressed as a detective.
We don't know that much about this comic yet. It's still pretty young, so it is possible that somebody was acting as a detective. We don't know. But anyway, somebody dressed like that saved him or helped him once, and that basically has helped him decide that, okay, they're all good. So this one's dressed like that. I will trust her. And I have nothing going on for me right here now, so I will just follow her and go on adventures with her.
That's like if I was a kid and someone wearing a trucker hat saved my life. I just followed around hillbillies for the rest of my life. Like, help me! My shoes are untied!
You're going to have an adventure to remember if you do that. Fair enough. Having followed at least one or two hillbillies in my day, I can tell you. That will get you places. Not necessarily good places, but it will get you places. So, okay, we always talk about this with fantasy things, and is it ever mentioned that she's a tiefling, or did you just know that because you know D&D stuff well enough and the beast guide or whatever, the bestiary?
Okay, well, first off, tiefling is just a standard player race. Like, it's not anything deep in the Dungeons & Dragons lore. If you've ever played, you were given the option to play a tiefling. So I don't know if she's ever called a tiefling in the comic itself. I don't know that Tyr is ever called a bugbear, but I remember seeing Tyr as a bugbear in the description of the first comic where he appears. So I know that's what he is. Tieflings are a little more easy to discern. A bugbear could be an orc, could be a half-orc, could be lots of different things. So I don't know if I ever got it anywhere in the comic, but I like I said, I did some research into the creator and to try and figure out how to say his name and how this comic came about and all that stuff. And he referred to it as the story of a tiefling girl named Penny. And so I consider that confirmation. She's a tiefling. Also, she's blue, has horns and a tail. So she was always a tiefling.
Okay. That's good to know. I appreciate the clarification, 'cause I didn't know that. It didn't really affect my reading of the comic anyway, one way or the other, but it's good to know. So I have two other characters to point out, and we'll kind of talk about the story as we do, but that I don't know what they are, and maybe you do or have some inkling. So after the city is burned to the ground, we are introduced to likely one of the culprits, if not the main culprit of that crime. And he says he is from Cinder. So I assume that is that, like, he has fire-based powers. So if that wasn't blatantly obvious yet, we haven't learned his name yet, but he kind of sucks the life out of people with his fire powers and then can disperse that into flame, it seems like. Do you know what he is or anything else?
So he's a little less for sure. I would assume he's some kind of fire genocide, but he might just be a demon of some kind. Cinder, I don't believe, is a standard place, but like I said, D&D, there is no standards. Like, they officially came out recently and said the only thing that's actually canon is the rules of how you play the game, and even that we say you can fudge, so it's whatever you want it to be. So I would assume it's like some either city in hell or near hell, or maybe just a place where there's a lot of fire genocide. There's a lot it could be, but I don't know anything definitive, just based on the name.
Okay. And so do you agree with me that he either is solely responsible for that or had help with from other fire genocide or demons?
I think he did it. I think he's a loose cannon who plays by his own rules and burns what he wants to burn.
He does do that, yes. And to that end, he is trying to catch up to Penny and Tyr. He's basically being paid, or he's been hired to hunt them down. And so the person that hired him eventually shows up in a mysterious hood and basically says, all right, you're clearly not the person for this job. You're off the hook. Just stop hunting them and go do your own thing. And he's just like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I want to fight you because I think I can beat you. And so they fight, and they have a pretty epic fight that I think hasn't wrapped as of the posting of this show. Do we know anything about that character? Because the hood comes off and we see blue. I was thinking dark elf, but I also, it says something about vampire powers. Like the sun hurts him. So what do you know about him?
Do you want to play Dungeons and Dragons?
Teach me about fantasy. Yeah, I very much would love to play Dungeons and Dragons if I could find the time. Yes, that would be wonderful.
Well, let me know if you have time.
About wrestling, that would work better because that's what my free time is spent doing. But
I still think that would make a very popular podcast for us. But so yes, he's a dark elf. I'm assuming once again, this is all just based on every D&D world is built upon tropes and you kind of pick what you want to keep and what you want to throw away. So I'm assuming dark elves, dark skin, live below ground, sensitive to the sun, generally very magically powerful. So I'm assuming that we don't know much about him. He doesn't have a spider for a butt, so he's not a lot of dark elves. There are dark elves with spiders for butts. Like imagine a centaur, but spider instead of horse and dark elf instead of person. They're called Driders, but that's a stupid name, so I call them Spider Butts.
They're really called Driders?
Yeah, they're really called Driders. It's not D&D's best work. So
no, that's just a lazy portmanteau. It's like, I'm just going to mash these two words together and see what I get.
What should I call this dark spider thing?
Well, in my notes, I actually called him a dark elfpire, which Google Docs did not like and was like, you're trying to say empire. I'll rewrite that for you. I'm like, no, it's okay. I'll stop calling it that because I don't know what it is, what he is. But so yeah, they fight in an area or city or town called Ravenwater. And we're talking in bits and pieces, but that's because of this story. That's kind of what we've gotten so far. We've gotten the layout. We got Penny at her school with her classmates and her teachers, and we're kind of set up with that. And it's like, okay, well, that's where this, you know, the story is going to take place. We're going to be at a school for a while, and we'll have the politics of the school, and it'll feel kind of Harry Potter-ish, which is why I mentioned that in my intro. And then almost immediately her mentor, professor disappears, and then he reappears, and he's all beat up, and he basically, like you said, tells Penny, you gotta go, like, you gotta get out of here, this place is not safe, they're going to kill me and everybody else here, you've gotta go, and don't look back. And so she does, and then she comes back, and it's burned to the ground, and that's where she meets Tyr, and they set off to meet with her sister, Meg, who I don't think we've mentioned before, but she is, just wants to keep her safe. She's her bigger sister, and she just wants her to be safe. And, of course, Penny doesn't want anything to do with that because she's on an adventure. Duh. Why else would we be reading this comic? I did like the moments of, and again, I don't know if this has any canon basis or not, but the, calls, the phone calls between them, but they're mind calls. I don't know what else to call them, but, the sister calls her, and she's the only one that can hear it because Tears, looking around like, who are you talking to? What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Where'd you go?
Talking to somebody in her mind. Scared. Tears has a very definite voice in my mind. It's not complimentary.
Something's starting to smell like wet dog up here. Tear, that's you. Man!
Aw, jeez.
Yeah. Tear is very much Barney from The Simpsons. Oh, gosh!
So that's I would assume it's a sending spell, something like that. It's kind of, I liked the touch that he had that there's these people who send it and you can request that they wipe their memory. That's kind of cool. There is some interesting world building that's being hinted at in the story with things like that. That's the gist of that. I agree that the story is kind of, I don't want to say bits and pieces, but it is fast. It's a lot like Hooves of Death, where you're presented with a situation and you're like, okay, this is what we're going to be in for a while, time to get comfortable, we're gonna be in here for the long haul, and then boom, inciting incident, here we go. And having read as many fantasy webcomics as we have, I appreciate the crap out of this. Like, it's more than enough to say, hey, this person did go to a magical detective school. But now they don't, because the city blowed up. And then off we go. Let's figure things out. Let's have an adventure. You don't need 7 chapters of prologue. I think he said he did 30-some-odd pages just for the prologue. And, that can be enough.
Yeah, No, I totally agree. It gets moving very quickly and moves in a totally different direction than you think it's going to, and that's purposefully misleading. It makes it more exciting. It makes it immediate. Like when he says, I forget the mentor's name off the top of my head, but when he says Dorset. To Penny, you know, there you go. Yeah. You got to go. And she, dives out the window, and he, I can't remember if she casts the spell or if he does, that basically levitates her. So when she, you know, is about to hit the ground, she just stops. And she's like, okay, now I'm down here. I got to check back on him. And she looks up to the window, and a big explosion happens, or he's dead, basically. And it's like, okay, well, everything he just said was going to happen is already happening, so I got to move. And she's out of town. He, you know, set up her way out of town, and she leaves and comes back immediately. And I expected there to be, you know, like things going down in the town, and she's got to hunt down his killer and whatever else, and the town's just gone. And I was like, okay. So this is a very different direction then. And I suspect we'll meet the friends, like the friends from the school got out somehow, like somebody told them. And we, you know, met a couple of them at least that were like, okay, these are going to be the friend characters, and they'll figure into the story somehow. So I feel like they have to come back around at some point, but I don't know in what capacity. Maybe they're discovered in another town again. They got out and are hunkering down. But I also want to talk about briefly about the artwork. Because I really, it's a, when you get too close on it, the line work is a bit shaky, in my opinion, but the emotion behind every character is almost unmatched. Like you get so much weight behind sadness and happy and optimistic. Like you can read it all on the characters, and that is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very evocative artist, and I love that about him. I actually found him via YouTube. He started out as a YouTube creator where he would do really cool YouTube videos about different monsters in D&D and different ways you can play D&D. And each one, it was kind of the animatic style of animation where it's just like keyframes. And he put so much emotion and so much action into these simple frames that I was just enthralled. And so when I heard he was kind of giving up YouTube to do a comic, I was like, oh, well, that's right up my alley. Let's check it on out. And I was not disappointed. I really like it. And I think the shakiness aspect is probably intentional. And I think that's kind of a way to give it more of a sketchbook quality of like, I'm capturing this really quickly as it happens, which I dig. I think that's awesome.
I agree. Yeah, it does have that quality to it, and it's very it makes it easy to read. The fight between the dark elf and the cinder guy, once they're both revealed fully, like once the guy goes full demon, it seems like, and it kind of has like a dragon face to him at that point. Like cat mixed with dragon, which is why I was like, "Oh, what is he actually?" But I really like dragon. It. Like it's okay. It's a kraken. Let's name it canon.
A boom. Drat? Is that better for you?
No, I like kraken.
Okay,
I'm saying stick with kraken. That's fine.
Okay.
So when he's that revealed that way, and then the hood comes off the dark elf, and they fight, it's a really good fight scene. Like the fight scenes are good too. They're very action packed and kinetic, and they move. You can feel them moving on the page, but just the expressions, like the expression of the kraken as his eyes, like, you know, expand and he furrows his brow, which is amazing because he has no brow at that point. It's fire. it's awesome to read. It's definitely evolving bit by bit here and there, but it's also just it was very solidly established from the get-go. So yeah, It's not a bad thing to look at either. And it's so far a pretty small cast, which I think is doing a lot of favors. And we're really getting to know these characters pretty well before we move on to another one. But like you said, the world building is kind of happening here and there, kind of in the background, but we're getting little touches there here and there. And I think that will continue as they travel. You know, we'll meet more towns and diversify the cast and the types of people in this world. So yeah, I think this is a really good one to get in on now because it's still pretty young. It's under 100 pages, like you said, with the prologue, which you definitely need to read. But yeah, I'm so glad we came across this, and it's a great time to get in on it because pretty early, and this is one not to be missed.
Yeah, absolutely. Check it out. It's a ton of fun. And then go check out his YouTube work if you play D&D. I've gotten some good ideas for my sessions from him. So it's, yeah. Great creator. Thank you very much for putting your work on the internet so that we could consume it.
That is the motto of Digital Strips. It should be. It's not. We have many mottos. They've all sucked, but that sounds like just as good as any.
Yeah, yeah. Let's change it from, hey, get in our van to that one.
To be fair, that was never actually a motto. If you go back like 300 episodes or 400 episodes or whatever, we at one point were going to call ourselves the dark windowless van of the internet.
Yeah, that was a bad marketing ploy, but it was a good one at the time because this was like 17 years ago. So.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but it was... Yeah, it was a bad idea. We don't usually let our bad ideas percolate and actually come to the surface, so you're welcome for that. But in the meantime, check out this comic. It is on Tapas. Is the only place I found to read it, but it's a fine reading experience, and yeah, gorgeous, fun story. You're going to love it. I guarantee it.
It's also on Patreon.
It's also on Patreon. Well, you can follow pretty much any creator these days on Patreon, and they'll, you know, give you early access to stories or something like that. So yeah, that's never a bad idea. If you like this creator enough, then go support them on Patreon. That's going to do it for this episode of Digital Strips. We thank you very much for your support. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show where we talk about just about anything and everything under the sun until one of us ruins it for the other. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that podcast along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. You can leave 5-star reviews on that platform. We really appreciate those. If you have comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
Well, I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. That email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And with that, I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I always hope to be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you in the fourth panel. Stop dwelling on empty words. Stop.